It's a ball of fame, make it to the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And if I don't, at least I tried. I was born with pride. Never won no handout. I stand out. Patience needed in this game. I never ran out. Cause all I ever wanted was a victory. Run a circle round competition like it was 60. I did everything on the court. Yeah. And when it's all over, let them say I was a true boy.
It's Chaz time.
It's a ball of fame, make it to the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And if I don't, at least I tried. I was born with pride. Never won no handout. I stand out. Patience needed in this game. I never ran out. Cause all I ever wanted was a victory. Run a circle round competition.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to True Sports Talk Radio. I am your host, Chastity Melvin, and you could have been anywhere in the world, but you chose to listen to my show, and I appreciate that. And tonight, I'm really excited to have on the show Akeem Balaam. He is a writer at BeyondTheW.com, covers sports in Concord, Kannapolis, North Carolina, NC, baby.
Independent Tribune,
co-host of Atlanta-based A-League podcast. He's from Long Island. Akeem, welcome to the show, and it's great to have you on. I really appreciate you taking your time to join the show tonight.
Glad to be on. Absolutely glad to be on. It's it's been a long time. You know, I've been in this for a long time, and just trying to expand out there to see what I can do. And I'm definitely excited about tonight. You know, we could be crowning the champion, or we could be going back to the land of 10,000 lakes in Minnesota.
And for everyone listening in, Akeem is talking about the WNBA Finals Game 4 tonight between the rematch of the LA Sparks and the Minnesota Lynx. And if you haven't been watching this series, it's on ESPN2. Game 4 tonight comes on 8:30 Eastern time. Akeem and I are going to go over our previews, preview the matchups, go over what we think the coaches need to do, aren't doing, who's stepping up, who's not. If you don't know, these ladies are playing for their fourth championship in franchise history. And also beyond that, they will tie my all-time favorite players team, Cynthia Cooper, WNBA All-Star, big-time player. Man, they were the greatest, but they made that history with four championships in the WNBA, and whoever wins this championship this year will tie them. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Lisa Borders and her impact on the WNBA. So stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, Akeem, let's get right down to the nitty-gritty. Okay, Game 3 action was unbelievable. I was ready for somebody to jump out to that 15-20-point lead, but both teams came out focused, ready to play, but L.A. Sparks really played with that edge, and they were playing great team basketball, but got out in transition and basically made Minnesota play their type of basketball. What did you think Coach Agler did to make that adjustment and getting his team ready for that Game 3?
Well, first of all, I think that, they definitely had an advantage, of course, the built-in advantage of, playing in front of their home fans. But, I feel like that for sure that they came out, like you said, with that edge, especially, after what had happened in that game, too. I mean, I feel like that, you know, it's been one of those series that has been, you know, that has been back and forth and has been, you know, a series really of adjustments, whether it be offensive adjustments, defensive adjustments in terms of who they put on Maya and who they put on Sylvia and who they put, you know, on everybody else on Minnesota. But you know, I just think that, you know, they came out, you know, with that fire, with that competitive edge, and really and truly going into game three, I thought Minnesota was going to win. I was kind of expecting Minnesota to win, you know, game three and then probably LA to win game four because, you know, it's been one of those issues where I feel like going into the series, I think that Minnesota had, you know, they were still, I feel like, you know, smarting a little bit from what happened last year. But you know, coming out, you know, in that game three, and you know, hopefully, you know, we'll see what happens tonight. But if they're able to translate what they did, what the Sparks did in game three to game four, then you know, then we could be crowning a two-time champion, really a four-time champion, as you mentioned, you know, tying the Comets.
Yeah, but they will be back to back, so they will.
Right.
Candace Parkinson spoke about they really want to be back to back champions, and that does say a lot. My assessment of the game is with the LA Sparks, really, and this is Coach Agler from – I played in the ABL, and I'm really good friends with Katie Smith. And Coach Agler has been coaching with – he has some of the best defensive schemes. I mean, I would like to get in coaching someday, and it would be great to learn under him. And really, his defensive schemes were unbelievable against the Minnesota Lynx. And I kept waiting for Coach Reed to make some type of adjustment with her MVP and Maya Moore. Granted, there's always great defense. I've played for, you know, so long in the league overseas and playing in the post. I feel Sylvia's pain with the quick double team. So hopefully tonight, what type of adjustments do you think Coach Reeve is going to make? Because Coach Agler was just like, okay, he went with it and that defense lasted tonight. But what do you think Coach Reeves will do to make adjustments against a very great defensive scheme and great defensive effort by not only Candace Parker, but the front court were amazing. They were amazing with their defense.
Well, I feel like that what the Lynx, I feel like, have to do is that they have to go back to what worked in many ways for a lot of that game in game one. Because remember, Minnesota was down huge. I feel like they were down 26 points after 1 point in game one. So if they can go back, you know, and then they were able to come back and almost won the game. So I feel like that if Minnesota, you know, can get back on their game, because, you know, if holding the Lynx to under 70 points is not an easy feat. There's a reason as to why only a few teams have been able to do it, and the Sparks, if I remember correctly, has been responsible for a few of those occurrences this year. But, you know, I feel like that if they can go back to what, you know, worked in many ways for much of game one when they made that comeback, I feel like that Minnesota can potentially go out to a big lead and perhaps, you know, win this game and send this thing back to Minnesota. But as we've seen for much of this series, leads are not safe. There is no such thing as a safe lead. So I feel like it's gonna be a grind 'em out game between, you know, both teams. And honestly, I will not be surprised if it was another one of those 1 point, 2 point, 3 point thrillers as we've seen so often between these two teams.
I agree. I think it is going to be a battle. I think it will be a close matchup. I really am interested. I know Lindsey Whalen was out. I love Lindsey Whalen. I mean, there's nothing like playing with a great point guard. But Coach Reeve has to make a decision between, I think, is critical right now with Lindsey Whalen and bringing Renee Montgomery off the bench and who's going to get the most minutes. It's basically, I think it's going to come down to who's getting to a flow, because from just fans and people calling or texting me, like, you know, it seems like Lindsey hasn't quite gotten back into the flow with those starters coming back from that injury. It's a critical time. LA's clicking on all cylinders. And Renee Montgomery does bring a different type of game. She adds a spark when she comes out there. And it seems like they have gelled together with that team. And as a coach, those are those critical decisions you have to make. And I know, I've seen it firsthand. As a coach, that's the dilemma. Do I stay with my star? Do I stay with who's got me here? Yes, I mean, I know this player could come in and do this. What do you think Coach Reeves needs to do in that situation?
I think that in basketball, you go with the hot hand. I feel like that if it's something where the Lynx have, you know, have more cohesiveness, you know, on both sides, on offense and defense with Renee Montgomery, then I feel like you go with Renee. Because, like you said, you know, Lindsay, it has seems as though to a certain point that, as you said, that getting back into the flow of their offense, especially with the type of offense that Coach Reeve runs, I feel like that if it's something where Renee is, you know, giving them more energy, Renee is giving them, like you said, much more of an edge, then in my opinion, I feel like you got to go with a hot hand. It's game four, it's do or die. You got us to game five. I feel like that, you know, and especially, you know, given the minutes that, you know, that she has played and the fact that Renee has actually given them some pretty good, you know, some pretty good production, whether it be as a starter or off the bench. I feel like that if Renee is the one that's given them as much production as she has given them, I feel like Coach Reed, you almost have to go with Renee in that situation.
I agree. I agree with the energy. I agree with it. But still, I know, and I've watched a lot of coaches. I've read a lot of books, learned from some great coaches, Coach Al, and the different coaches I've played with, Coach Adubato in Washington. And it's going to be interesting to see what decision she makes tonight. I posted a quote on my True Sports Talk radio page, and she said, you know, only regret that she had from last year's playoffs is that they didn't feed Sylvia Fowles the ball in the paint enough. And I know she doesn't want to go into next year saying she has a regret. And if there is a regret, it will probably have to do with the decision she makes on who she goes with tonight. Or Lindsay Whaley can just come out and have one of her great games, and then she won't have to make that decision. But that will be the test for them tonight, as you said. And it's going to be interesting to see what Coach Agler comes up with. We're going to take a quick break, Akeem. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Candace Parker, just the level of play that she's brought to this year's finals. It's just kind of like she's even stepped it up from last year. So we'll be right back. Okay, we're back, and if you're just tuning in, this is True Sports Talk Radio. I'm your host, Chastity Melvin. I have Akeem Balaam on the line. He's a writer at BeyondTheW.com, and he's schooling me right here, giving me great insight, and I love it. Later on in the show, to top the show off, we're going to have Professor Koontz, and she's going to talk about social justice and athletes and activism. I mean, who said politics and sports don't mix? Because L.A. Sparks is saying, we're not coming out for the national anthem. Candace Parker said, quote, at the end of the day, boo, we are going to stay in the locker room for the national anthem, and we don't care if you disagree with us or not. Let's talk a little bit about the WNBA has been on the forefront since last year with protecting wearing the I Can't Breathe shirts and just really protesting the social injustice that's gone on. This year, the LA Sparks, if you're just listening and tuning in, they stay in the locker room for the national anthem or leave the court and go back in the locker room while the national anthem is being played. And Candace Parker had a clapback for all the fans that said that athletes are disrespectful to the national anthem. Akeem, I'll wait for the show to talk to Professor Koontz about that. But let's talk about Candace Parker really speaking out, not only on that, but just being a leader for the LA Sparks. I mean, she's in all of her teammates' face. She's playing unbelievable defense, some of the best defense I've seen her play throughout her career. I can say this is the best defense I've ever seen her play, and just her leadership. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, on Candace Parker, I feel like that, you know, Candace Parker has been one of the premier players in the WNBA for a pretty good bit of time. But I feel like that what really made Candace Parker, you know, really step it up a notch was the fact that she was left off the 2016 Olympic team. I feel like that once she was left off the Olympic team, that said something in Candace where she was like, oh, okay, I'm a really prove everybody wrong. Because it's so, you know, it is kind of ironic that the same year that she was left off the Olympic team, last year, 2016, was the very same year that she won her first WNBA championship. So I feel like that when they selected the Olympic team and she was left off, she was like, okay, you know, that's time for me to step it up a notch. So it's just amazing, you know, just the – the transformation and just the, you know, the maturity and the, you know, how she's really been able to just, like I said, just been able to step up her game ever since, you know, ever since 2016, the last few years.
I totally agree. I mean, as a player, former player, we can say we don't care what the media thinks. That didn't really bother us, but we're always using any little thing we can find as motivation. And at that point, being left off the Olympic team, I mean, you know what? Everyone was talking about it. People were texting me. Even my mother was like, "Candace Parker's not on the Olympic team," you know. So, when mom's calling and you're like, "Mom's really this into it? Okay, like, you know." So,
right.
Yeah. Definitely, that was a little bit of motivation for her. So, we'll get right into it. So, Akeem, you give me your pick for tonight's game. Who's going to tie? Can the LA Sparks end the series tonight and tie the Houston Comets and become back-to-back champions, or will the Lynx get that chain linked together? And Coach Ryu come up with adjustments to get that game back to Minnesota?
Oh, it's a tough one. This is a tough one because every single one of these games is a coin flip, especially with these two teams and how well they know each other. Every single one of these games is we're going to a game five. So I'm going to pick Minnesota tonight because I just don't see them going down 3-1, especially after what happened last year. I feel like that I feel like Minnesota is going to be playing with that fire. I feel like Minnesota is going to bring it. I feel like that they're going to be thinking about last year. They're going to be going into this, you know, with their competitive edge. And I feel like we're going back to Minnesota for that game five.
Akeem, I'm going to have to go with LA Sparks.
You think they close it out tonight?
I think LA Sparks will close it out tonight, and watching Coach Agler and all the schemes that he's come up with, watching Chelsea Gray, watching Elena Beard on the defensive end, watching them when they made those critical mistakes, I felt like, wow, that was really deep what happened with L.A. Sparks when Elena Beard, one of my all-time favorite players, played with her at the Mystics when she got that 5 seconds call on her. They showed a lot of maturity and poise to just stay together and come back home and really take charge and step it up and be like, okay, we did something. They just didn't finish that game. They had a chance in Minnesota.
True.
So I think they understand, and they show me that in game three, we're hungry, we want to win. And it was just unbelievable, like, the way they played with the foe. Even though Minnesota got back into it, Minnesota still hasn't shown me what they've shown me in the past. And that's that killer instinct and that drive. Like, when they do click, they get it, and you're not getting back in it. You're not going to win the game. L.A.'s showing me that right now, and L.A. does not want to go back to Minnesota. So I really feel like if they come out like they have and Coach Agler comes up with some other tricks, I'm not sure Minnesota can do it. So I'm going to go with LA tonight. But I mean, I would love a game five. I love this game, so it doesn't matter. I play with Seal, so I love watching all the players, especially former players. I really want Gia to get one with Minnesota Lynx. I love my bets. I play with Gia as well. I really want her to get one. But from all my time watching basketball, I just really the hunger in LA's eyes, I see it more so than I do in Minnesota. And they are a team that can bring that tonight, but I just don't see it right now. So I'm going with LA. So, Akeem, maybe we'll have a game five. Maybe you can come back on and chat with me. But just tell the listeners where they can follow you because, you know, you have some great insight, and I'd love to have you back on the show. And, again, I appreciate your time. So, Akeem, can you tell the listeners where to follow you at?
Absolutely, absolutely. At Akeem Balaam, AkeemBailum. On Twitter, on Instagram, and, of course, at beyondthew.com. So check it out.
Akeem, I appreciate it. We look forward to having you on the show again. And hopefully we'll see. We'll see. We'll tweet each other, see who wins it tonight.
Absolutely. You better believe I'm going to be all over it tonight. Absolutely.
Awesome. All right. Next time. Thanks, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
All righty.
It's chat time. It's a ball of fame, make it to the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And if I don't, at least I tried. I was born with pride. Never wanted no handout, I stand out. Pace is needed in this game, I never ran out. Cause all I ever wanted was a victory.
victory. Running circles around competition like it was 6 to me. I gave everything on the court. Yeah. And when it's all over, let them say I was the true sport.
It's Chaz time.
It's a ball of fame, make it to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And if I don't, at least I tried. I was born with pride. Never wanted no handout, I stand out. Pace is needed in this game, I never ran out. Cause all I ever wanted was a victory. Running circles around competition like it was 6 to me. I gave everything on the court.
Yeah.
And when it's all over, let them say I was the true sport.
Welcome, everyone. True Sports Talk Radio. I'm back with the top it off show segment, athletes and social justice. Who says politics and sports don't mix? Not me and not Professor Koontz, who's majoring in sociology, getting her PhD at University of Maryland. So she's not a doctor yet, but as you know, if you listened to the episode before, I interviewed her. It's my sister. I know she's the smartest person I personally know and can call about any and everything. Yo, D, what is this? What does this mean? What does this mean? I mean, she's going to have to start charging me. Professor Koontz, welcome to the show. This is one of my favorite segments because I learned something and I go into the week like feeling all smart and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get to work and lunch and then I can talk about this and feel like, whoa, Chaz gets it. D, really quick, if you just tuned in, we had Akeem Balaam on, and he was great, a writer for BeyondTheW.com. We talked it up about game four tonight on ESPN2, 8:30 Eastern, LA Sparks, Minnesota Lynx. Real quick, D, let's talk about the fans are talking about athletes, and I want to read you this quote really quick about the fans and how they feel about athletes not standing for the national anthem. And as we know, the LA Sparks are leaving the court. They're not on the court for the national anthem. So this was something from a fan, quote, "We will not support millionaires ingrates who hate America, disrespect our armed forces and veterans who wins have zero impact on our lives, who fights for and defends our nation has even impact on our lives." So basically they're saying athletes don't have zero impact on our lives, unlike those who fight and defend our country. And they said, "We stand with the heroes, not a bunch of rich, entitled, arrogant, ungrateful, anti-American degenerates." Wow. Signed, "We the People." Now, this was obviously from a fan for the NFL players, but I think they basically are sending that notion out to all the athletes. And Candace Walker had a clap back where she said, "It's the First Amendment, boo. Boo all you want," because obviously they get booed at the games for not coming out for the national anthem. "But if you don't agree with me, we're still going to do it." So, Dee, first, I guess, could you tell me a little bit, really get this First Amendment, really kind of give us some great points of what the First Amendment really means? Because everyone's quick to say it's my First Amendment, and I'm quick to say it, and I'm not going to lie. I got to read and make sure. Okay, what is my First Amendment right now? So, D, can you kind of school us on the First Amendment and what athletes and people are quick to say, "What's my First Amendment? I can do this, and this is right." So, you know, school us on that.
No, sure. I mean, the First Amendment, Chastity, is probably the most, well, one of the most important amendments in our entire Constitution. And in that First Amendment, you get some of the most major rights that we probably take for granted. For number one, you get the right to freedom of religion, you know, which is almost something that we don't even think about because it's so unconscious to us that we can pretty much start, be a part of, partake in any religion that we want to. Then secondly, you have, you know, the freedom of speech, you know, which that is what Candace Parker was referring to, that portion of the First Amendment that says the freedom of speech or to the press, meaning that I can say, I can give my opinion, but I can also write it. And so, you know, you've traveled, you know, there's countries, we've heard stories, we've had teammates from other countries who were under communist regimes, and you were not able to write what you wanted to write or say what you wanted to say. I remember when you were in China, you told me about certain websites that you could not get because the China government can't control pretty much the World Wide Web. So we clearly can feel the impact of having the freedom of speech and then the right to assemble. The fact that I can put on Eventbrite and say, "Hey, I want to have a meetup," and 30 people can show up, and that's an American right as well as the right to basically petition the government, like the right to resist, the right to resist, the right to petition, the right to throw up a fist or to take a knee. That is a First Amendment right. That's a constitutional right. And so you really, you know, have to think about that fan who wrote that letter. Have they even read the First Amendment lately?
And that makes a lot of sense, and a lot of people say that. But from a fan's perspective, Dee, can you tell us, because this is social justice and athletes protesting and politics and sports, and a lot of fans feel like athletes should just go out there and entertain and do their job. Why is it such a disconnect? Why do the fans and why do a lot of people feel like, I mean, why can they not see the real issue but behind why athletes are kneeling and why they're protesting and why they're standing up for the social justice and what they believe in? Why do you think that there's that disconnect?
Well, one reason, Chastity, I think is the entitlement, that same entitlement that fan talks about, the professional athletes. I think fans have this sense of entitlement that they can control their athletes, that they can control their quote-unquote sports heroes, and that they can determine, you know, how that hero is supposed to act, how that hero is supposed to dress, how that hero is supposed to think, what advertisements that sports professional is supposed to do. And so I think the fans have been spoiled in the sense that they think that they can control these athletes and that they can control the types of expressions that the athletes will project. And so I think that's one of the disconnect. I also think that we in America, you saw it way back when Ron Artest was kicked out of the NBA for 73 games for retaliating with the fan. We take these privileges with athletes, not just athletes, but entertainers. We gossip about them. We Twitter about them. We use social media to talk about what they're wearing, what they're not wearing, who they're with and what relationships they have. And so we think that we almost have taken personal stakes in the lives of people who we don't really know. And so I think it gives us a boldness to be able to also demand that they not be political, or they only promote athletic drinks, but they should never, ever say anything about the government. So I think when you talk about entitlement, you really need to think about the fans, because we've been really spoiled as fans.
Wow, that I've actually never heard that point made before, and that's very interesting that you pointed out and very deep. And that's why I like having you on the show. And I think anybody that listens in on the show and can get your perspective, it kind of makes them think, and it makes both sides think. So I enjoy having you on the show, and thank you for your time. Before I let you go, because I know it's Sunday night, and the game starts at 8:30 Eastern, and I'm going to put this podcast up really quickly so they can get it. Call Professor Coates, who do you have winning game four tonight between the Minnesota Lynx and the LA Sparks?
Chaz, I think the Sparks are going to shut it down tonight. They're going to you're going to see some confetti. You're going to see some balloons. You're going to see some T-shirts coming out and some bubbly. The Sparks are not going back to Minnesota, and I'm ready to see them win this second championship in a row.
Professor Coates, I've already stated with Akeem, I'm going with the LA Sparks. I just see that fire and their hunger in their eyes. You know, I've been watching basketball since I was 11 years old. I watched the NBA. I watched the showdown between Boston, LA. And you just see when the runs and the just like I saw it this year, I love LeBron James and them, but they didn't have that hunger in the finals. Whether they could have beat the Warriors or not, they just didn't have that hunger in their eyes like the Warriors did, like KD wanted it. Steph wanted it again. They wanted that payback. And I've been waiting on that from the Minnesota Lynx, and I haven't seen it. Not to say that they can't bring it tonight, but LA Sparks do not want to go back to Minnesota. So I think that the fat lady will speak tonight. And the LA Sparks will close it down. I got mad love for you, Gia and Seal, if y'all listening in, because I really wanted Gia Perkins to get her one. I love her.
Me
She's
too.
A great person, great heart. But I think LA Sparks will shut it down tonight. But if it goes game five, LA Sparks, they kind of might have shot themselves in the foot. Although they can win there. They've proven that they can win there.
That would be an awesome game.
But I think I'm going to go with you, Professor D, and we'll hear the fat lady singing tonight.
Oh, yeah.
We love Radio. All right, I'm out of here. Thank
Have
you,
a great
Professor
one,
Cass. Thanks, everyone, for listening in. This is True Sports Talk Radio, where you're entertained, informed, and inspired. Check us out Sunday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, True Sports Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com, and also on SoundCloud. Thanks, Dee. Thanks for coming on, Professor Koontz. Next time.
No problem. See you on Twitter, Chaz. Can't wait to hear your commentary.
Yes, everybody follow me on Twitter at Chastity Melbourne. I will be giving you live, like none other, Chastity Jazz analyst skills. Rhymes, you know, I'm just going to give it to you from a player's perspective. All right, Professor Koontz, catch you on Twitter.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.